Machina. In English, that's the often pronounced as Ex Machina, which is the story of an android who outsmarts her human controllers and escapes into the world. Recently, Sam Altman, he's a CEO of OpenAI, whose identifying product is ChatGPT, predicted that AI would exceed human intelligence right across the spectrum by around 2030. Dropping. And I believe it was back in April where Anthropic creator of Claude chatbot invited the world's foremost AI companies to develop a coordinated pause and further advancement of systems, warning that the technology is improving so fast that there's a risk humans may not be able to control it. And back in June, researchers at the University of Toronto demonstrated that AI tools could be used to create a novel AI worm that can adapt its hacking strategy as it spreads from device to device over extreme large networks. So AI, it seems to be increasing exponentially these days, and a lot of scientists are worried about how far they can go with it before it starts to have a so-called mind of its own. And this is BA3KS. Are there any stations out there like to join us or make a comment? Come on in, and then we'll head into another one here.
They've made movies about AI taking over the Earth as well. I'm trying to remember the name of the most popular one, but it basically did the same thing and become sentient, I would say, and able to think on its own. Interesting.
I don't want to K-Line take over KB3JQQ.
And this is the A3KX. And this next one here is about the building blocks of life found in space. We're talking about that a little bit earlier in the station commence. I was M70EZ was making a comment regarding life in space. And this is an example of which I was talking about earlier, about the building blocks, the building blocks of life being found in space. There's a number of them that have been found. There's a few more to be found out there, but the essential ones have already been found, and that gives them indication that life might be all through space, given the right circumstances. And scientists are looking for more and more places where these substances, these building blocks of life, can be found. And by definition, they're looking for the molecules of life that look like those found on Earth, and including proteins, RNA, lipids. Lipids are the fatty molecules that make up cell membrane. In 2023, scientists brought back samples from the asteroid Bennu that contained all five nuclear bases of DNA and RNA, as well as 14 of the 20 amino acids used by living organisms. And the asteroid Ryugu yielded all five nuclear bases, including uracil, which is found in RNA. In fact, is the nuclear basis for DNA and RNA. And they are, DNA is, I think there's only one difference between the two of them. DNA has adenine, adenine, cytosine, guanine, and thymine. And I think RNA, the only difference between RNA and DNA was instead of thymine, it had uracil. So they found all these nuclear bases that go into the formation of DNA and RNA that are in space. And scientists they started off by looking for complex organic molecules, which contain carbon, carbon molecules with six or more atoms. And about 350 molecules have been discovered in space so far, and about 180 of them qualify as complex organic molecules. And not all of these are building blocks of life, however. And some of the best places to look for these and other molecules is in molecular clouds, where interstellar gas and dust are dense enough for molecules to form. And right now, scientists are trying to find larger sugars like ribose. That's a part of RNA. And if they can find these, that then means that all the key elements of life can form even before stars and planets come into existence. So from that, it indicates that all these nuclear bases and the things that require the building blocks of life aren't necessarily dependent on when stars and planets came into existence. These things were the basic ingredients of the early universe, and they could have formed very, very early on, just waiting for us to place the seed, you might say. Sorry about that. This is the A3KX. Ken here. This is the Science of TechNet. And if you'd like to join us, you have a comment, come on in. And there's another one here about geoglyphs found in the Amazon rainforest. There's hundreds of these are now found. They were created by a mysterious ancient civilization. And if you'd like to join us before we get into this next topic, or you have a comment, come on in, and then we'll get into this one. This is the A3KX, and this is ScienceNet. Come on in.
This is VA6TBO checking in late from Medicine Hat.
Hey, Ted, I've got you checked in. Good to hear you. They used laser scans to reveal hundreds of ancient earthworks underneath the dense canopy of the Amazon rainforest. The civilization that created them provided a name of a query. They arose around 2,500 years ago in Brazil. And based on the amount of earthworks, these people may have had a population of around 3 million before their society ended up collapsing. And the study was published Wednesday, July 29th, in the journal Nature. And in that study, the authors described their survey of almost 1,740 square miles, or 4,500 square kilometers of Amazon rainforest, which revealed 396 new geoglyphs that allowed researchers to approximate the geographical extent of the query people. All these geoglyphs lead scientists to rethink certain assumptions about pre-colonial civilizations and urban development but questions arise about the fate of these people. No one knows why geoglyphs suddenly got abandoned between AD 850 and 950. Some evidence indicates a fairly quick collapse that may be related to the disappearance of classic Mayan in the Central American areas and in the Andes. Just drop it. And for those of you who are familiar with any of these geoglyphs, the Nazca lines, that's another one too. And for a long time, scientists were absolutely perplexed how these ancient civilizations were able to create these large geographic images on the ground without using any kind of sophisticated equipment. And this is just another example of it in the rainforest of the Amazon. is VA3KX, and then this is Science and Tech Map. If you'd like to join us, you have a comment, come on in, and then we'll head into the next one. And this one's about orcas, killer whale, and another boat sunk. This is off the coast of Spain, and going on, what, about 6 years now, and the question is now coming up, is why is this behavior continuing? So scientists are starting to now explore this a little bit more. If you'd like to join us, if you have a comment, come on in. And then this one here is about orcas sinking another boat, and they're trying to come to some conclusion as to why they're doing it. On July 24th, orcas destroyed another boat rudder, and this time it was on the yacht. It was a yacht that was 46 feet, 14 meters in length. And it was a Swedish flag yacht, the Galicia, in northwestern Spain. A Spanish Coast Guard ship eventually towed the ship to safety. Earlier that week, there were several other incidents in the same waters. One of the ships sank after the orcas destroyed the rudder, and the occupants were rescued again from that one. But there's more than 700 destructive encounters between orcas and vessels that have taken place since 2020. So far, researchers have identified approximately 15 individual killer whales evolved from the Iberian population of less than 50. And the cluster is believed to be led by a female known as Gladys. And it was theorized that she'd been traumatized by a boat, and that encounter started the rudder ramming behavior. And back in 2023, that theory was gaining traction as a sort of trauma or origin-driven defensiveness. However, defensive can't be confused with vengefulness. The original theory isn't really endorsed by most scientists now. The prevailing theory is that because orcas are some of the most social animals on the planet, they pick up habits. They tend to pick up habits. And these habits then spread through a group over time. So they're thinking quite possibly started off as some sort of playful behavior, and others picked up on it, and they've now developed a habit, and this is what they're doing, tearing the rudders off boats. They don't know for sure, but that's just another theory in their toolbox for the time being.
I'm a KG-60R.
Come on in.
KG-60X returning in northwest Canada for a period of time in the late 80s, early 90s. There was a rash of adolescent bear behavior that was similar, where it would break out from the social groups and go and terrorize specific towns, specific geolocations or groups of people at different seasons that didn't seem to make sense as to why the bears would pick a particular town, whereas the opposite is seen near Hudson Bay, where near the town of Churchill, the migration path just happens to coincide with an area where people have decided to live, not necessarily having a similar problem. Then there was also a theory maybe illicit drugs had somehow changed the society of bears during their adolescent period. It's still, I don't know if all the results came in yet. KG-6GI did.
And it's a VA3KX. Thank you for that. I hadn't heard of that. I'll have to read up on that a little bit more. That sounds very, very interesting. So again, there's another incident there with, as you're saying, with Bear. They still haven't come to a conclusion of what was going on with those. Plenty of theories, but they really don't know. Same as with the orcas right now. All right, thank you for that.